Hi everyone, this is the Two Brain Cells podcast with
Annabelle
and Mia, and our guest today, Rhea. How are you doing today?
Great, thank you so much for having me here.
Of course, thank you for being here with us today. Yeah, so just as a quick introduction for listeners, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I'm currently a sophomore at Washington High. I'm an author of two poetry books, Weak in Me and Blues Away, one dealing with depression and the other one sort of healing through it. I also participate in dance, singing, and also badminton, my speech and debate club. Above all, I'm a mental health advocate, and I strongly believe that we need to talk about these issues because they've only been getting worse. So I'm very happy to be here and talk about it.
Thank you for giving that little intro. So just to start off, I think you mentioned both dance and poetry as two like art forms that you would like to express yourself with. So just starting with dance, could you talk a little bit about just like what kind of dance you do, how you got started, or how you got into dance in the first place?
Yeah, sure. So I started dance when I was 3 or 4 years old. And my mom kind of put me into it. And at the start, I didn't really enjoy it as much because I didn't really know what was going on. And it's called Bharatanatyam. It's a very, very ancient classical form in like southern India. And I would start off with very, very like basic rhythms. And I think until middle school, I wasn't very fond of it. And I kind of just would do it for like my mom. And then it wasn't until I started my Arangetram training, which is basically when a dancer graduates from the academy and is fit to teach other kids and like perform as much as she wants. And it's the time when a dancer fully matures in the form and starts to like appreciate it. And I had a really beautiful journey with my Arangetram, and it's definitely been like life-changing for me. It's an achievement I can look back on, and it gives me so much confidence to kind of do whatever I want to in life eventually. So it deals with a lot of expressions. There's an acting aspect in it, and I think it relates to poetry because we have to perform these dances in the Arangetram, which are called padams, which are basically like poetry pieces. So we present like stories and also pure dance, and in those stories we incorporate a lot of acting, so we have to show a lot of expressions on the face without like using words, which is quite a challenge. But those dances dealt with such problems where I could relate to them, and it sort of gave me a lot of peace. So I'm just so grateful for dance and what it's gifted me.
So I don't know if you like remember, but do you have any, how did you like feel when you were performing that dance? Were you, was it more of like a just going through the rhythms, or were you actually like sort of, do you feel like you were genuinely expressing something like deeper?
Yeah, so I think preparing for this Arangetram, I would kind of do it in my garage every single day and just do it to prep and memorize. But as soon as I set the stage, you know, I completely forgot about myself and I felt like a different person. And I just started loving the form. I don't know what had happened to me, but it was crazy how I just completely transformed on stage, and I felt so confident, and my posture was amazing, which usually it isn't, but I just felt free, and I forgot about who I actually was.
I think I can totally understand how you said, like, after you finished dance, that there was sort of, like, an empty feeling, maybe? Mm-hmm. Like, it was, from what I understand, it was, like, a really big part of your life that was very meaningful to you, and I'm sure that like all of a sudden having it just kind of be like gone or like a completely different experience must have been like a little bit maybe difficult to get through at first. So can you describe maybe like how you got through that period of time?
Yeah, so I think whenever you go into something new, you don't realize it's magic until it's over. So with this journey, it was very mentally challenging for me going into it because it's a full year journey and you have to somehow learn like 8 dances and present it, which seems very difficult when you start. But then I think over time, when it's closer to coming, that's when you start appreciating it the most. And I remember going to classes and just coming back and, like, crying because I was like, how am I going to get through this? So I think my mom has dealt with that a lot with me, but I think the way to deal with it is to just feel it, feel all the emotions that you will. But at the same time, try to have fun a little bit. Don't just always feel negative and don't always just feel like it's not going to work out. Because I think everything in life will eventually work out and you will find your, like, place of, like, peace. The way I dealt with it, it was not easy. There were a lot of times when I wanted to give up. There were a lot of times that I felt like I wasn't capable of doing it. There were times when I was like, oh, I just want to get this over with and do whatever. And then there were times when I was like, I want to be perfect and I want to make sure that this goes really well. So I think it was a combination of, like, my parents' support, my dance teacher's support, my friend's support that kind of got me through it. And I think it was, so my RNG term was in August, and I think I had a lot of time to kind of sit with dance during summer. And during that summer, I watched a lot of videos of other girls dancing, and I kind of got inspiration from them. I watched some movies where actors would, like, act with their eyes and see how they would portray different stories and characters. And I think I sort of appreciated the arts much more in that time. And I'm just really happy that I did it. So it all will be worth it. I think you should just feel everything.
So, I mean, I guess it's, like, a good thing that you said you had your parents' support mm-hmm. and your teacher's support, right? Yeah. Wow. Wow. Like, I mean, like, for me, like, listening to, like, what is it in total? Like, the first half, you said 90 minutes, second half, mm-hmm. 2 hours.
Yeah.
So, wow, okay. That's a lot yeah. of time to just be, like, dancing and performing yeah. on stage. Yeah,
and I know it's, like, really hard. I mean, like, even though you might have, like, support from, like, your parents or your dance teachers, I think no one really knows what you're going through at that moment, right? Like, you only know what you're going through. No one can actually, like, understand the intensity of your pain. But you, I think in that journey, what's the most beautiful is that you start to appreciate yourself and that you start to fall in love with yourself. And I think that's the biggest thing is when you appreciate yourself and you start to build confidence in yourself, you can do about anything you want in life, right? So you have to take risks and you have to take on these difficult paths in order to learn more about yourself. Because the more you learn about yourself, the more you're open to experiences and the more you can grow personally through that. And I think change and personal growth is, like, the most important thing in life. And it feels the most beautiful when you've actually gone through it.
Wow. So it seems like dance has definitely, like, helped a yeah. lot with your journey towards, like, just self-discovery, I guess.
Yeah, which is really crazy because I don't think I ever, like, truly appreciated the form until I started my Arangetram journey. So, yeah, I think I just, like, don't even know how it happened, but it's happened and it feels really good.
First of all, like, I have so much respect for you.
Thank you.
Because that sounds, like, insanely difficult. And I'm really happy that you were able to grow so much through mm-hmm. this journey.
Yeah.
So could you talk a little bit about maybe how poetry has been able to help you just, like, experience, develop, express mm-hmm. some of these, like, ideas and challenges and adventures that you've gone through?
Yeah. So I think I've always kind of been, like, an introvert. Like, I've never, like, discussed my problems with my friends as much, or I never really felt comfortable doing that. And I think poetry was something that really helped me get away from it. And not just poetry, I think, like, I love watching, like, shows and movies. And I think the shows and movies I've watched, I've always had that one character that I relate to the most. And for example, like, one of my favorite shows is actually Ginny and Georgia. I don't know if you guys have heard of it, but yeah, so I think Marcus, the character in that show, I think I really relate to him, and I really appreciate anyone in that team who wrote his character, because I think he's a very relatable character to anyone who's going through mental health issues, like depression or whatever it is. But I think when you have those characters in your life who you can relate to the most, I think that's the most beautiful part about the film industry, is when you can find a character and relate to it. And I think just, like, my experiences in the past with, like, certain friends or, like, school or feeling sheltered at times, I think I feel like, very vulnerable when I'm writing, and I feel like no one's there judging me, and I can just express whatever I want. And I get that inspiration from, like, music I listen to, or, like I said, my experiences. Like, I really have to, like, it's a very hard process because I really have to, like, go back to those moments and really, like, immerse in it and kind of bring out something from it. And I think poetry is a very hard process for me sometimes because there are times when I don't feel like I want to write, or like I'm going through an emotion and I just can't write anything about it. So there have been times when like I took like a 4 to 6 month break and I didn't feel like writing. And I think it just comes on a random day and like you just like bring out as many poems as you can, but it's not like an everyday process and it takes a really long time. But I think when you draw, like, inspiration from, like, music or, like, certain characters or friends, or if you, like, talk to people who have gone through those issues, kind of just, like, tapping into their experiences and bringing into poetry is, I think, something that helps me actually write.
Would you say that your writing mostly comes in forms of, like, maybe, like, sporadic bursts of motivation sometimes? Yeah. So when you take that motivation, like, I'm just curious to hear about, like, your writing process mainly. So, like, when you take that motivation, you kind of just, like, go with it, and then what happens from there?
So I kind of, yeah, so when I'm feeling the most, which is, I don't know, like, it just comes to me, like, it's not, like, a planned process. Whenever I'm feeling the most, I tend to write a lot of poems. And then after that, you know, sometimes I look back on those poems and I have to, like, delete them because I'm, like, I don't know how I wrote this or why I wrote this and it doesn't seem okay, which is, I think, a really normal part of the writing process is sometimes you're going to write poems when you're feeling, like, very intense emotion. And then you look back on it and you're like, oh, that's, like, let's not include that, you know? It's kind of just, like, whenever it comes, it comes. Most of the times, I like to keep my poems really raw and I don't like to keep it, like, safe or anything. I just, like, whatever comes will come. So it's not planned or anything, it just happens.
You mentioned that you published 2 books, right? Mm-hmm. What inspired you to, like, start writing it?
I think mainly just my experiences in the past, and I honestly, the hardest part about depression is you never really know when it's actually hit you, and you're feeling it, but you don't really know what it is, right? You're just like sinking into a hole, and you just want to stay in your room, you want to stay in bed. Your parents are telling you that, you know, you're not spending enough time with us, you're always on your phone, you need to review your homework, you need to review your class information that your teachers are giving you. But they don't know what's actually happening, right? Like, you're just in bed all day, you don't know what to do. During that time, I didn't know what was happening with myself, and it felt like writing was the only thing that could help me. So when I first started, it wasn't actual poetry, it was just, like, my thoughts and, like, paragraphs and whatever. And then I think I started discovering poetry online, and it kind of just came, and I just started reading it, and I thought it was very interesting. And one thing I like about poetry is you don't have to be literal. You can hide what you're trying to say within the poem. Like, I had a really hard time talking about what I was feeling with people, and I thought that vulnerability was a weakness when in reality it is your strength. I think eventually I just started writing, and it gave me the most peace, and after that I knew I'd just never stop, and it was, yeah, I think it was mainly just that.
How did you get your motivation to continue it when you were in, like, depression?
That's a good question. I think I knew that it was something that people don't really talk about as much. And I started watching a lot of music videos. I started watching a lot of shows. I started watching a lot of TV shows. And I saw that there's very few people who actually show it in such a raw way. And I wanted to be as raw as possible with it. So I thought about those people, and I thought about how many people must be going through the same thing. And I think every single person has been through that kind of phase in their life where they just feel very empty and they don't know what they're feeling. And I think it is something that should be reached out. I think there's no, like, actual cure for depression or mental health. I think the more you kind of listen to other people's experiences, the more you talk about it with someone, I think the easier it gets to kind of recover from that. So just thinking about other people and how much I wanted to help them kind of kept me motivated to keep going.
So I think you mentioned how at first you felt like vulnerability was sort of like a weakness, right? Where did you start, maybe, like, so in the beginning, I'm assuming that, like, in the beginning, you mainly started with just poetry. Mm-hmm. What, did you ever share these poems with people? Or just, like, before, like, mm-hmm. publishing them?
Yeah, so I think they were really, like, I kept them to myself, mostly. And then I think late seventh grade, there was, like, a poetry contest at my school. And I kind of just submitted one of my poems, and I ended up winning third place. And I think that sort of gave me the confidence to put it out. And I think the fact that people had read that poem and probably connected to it in some way made me realize that this is a universal problem, and it's not just me. There's so many other people going through it, different types of problems, and it gave me more confidence. And then I talked to my parents about it, and they thought that it was a really good idea to get it out there.
Did you have, like, any memorable or just, like, good experiences in general when you were writing about your poetry?
Yeah, I think it's a very therapeutic experience. When you're feeling a lot of emotion, I think it's important to, like, release it in some way. And for me, that's poetry. So after I kind of get it out there, I feel very free and empty, and I feel like I feel better. So I think that's, like, the good part of it. And when I write my poems, and then after that, I take a break because I don't feel that, like, spark or motivation to keep writing. So then during those times, I sort of go back and read my poems, and it gives me a sense of pride, and I feel very peaceful when I read them, and I'm like, okay, so I wrote this, I did this, and I've grown through these poems, and I will keep growing, and I'll keep becoming a better version of myself. And I think that sort of is the more positive side of it.
I guess since we've, like, obviously with writing such, well, as you expressed it, like, raw, and incorporating such raw themes into these poems, I'm sure there must be, like, some difficulties that you've had or experienced in the past. Would you be able to, like, talk a little bit about that? Maybe any times you felt, like, challenged, or you found it, like, just difficult to put what you really felt on paper?
Yeah, I think there were a few. So I'd say, like, one of them was definitely you had to go back and experience those things. And I think there's also a fear when you publish what other people are going to think about that. Like, especially for me, that was, like, my family, friends, and just other, you know, regular friends that we had, or we would go to, like, functions to, or, like, we would regularly hang out with. Like, I was worried about what their experience, like, reactions would be, because I feel like they didn't know who I really was. And just kind of, like, going back and thinking about how painful those memories were and how much I took all of that negativity to me was really painful, I think. And I think another thing was that I think I've always been kind of sheltered from a young age, so I haven't really been, like, open to, like, the real world. I think my parents were really overprotective about me, which is, I think, a really nice thing for parents. You should be protective about your children. But I think there's a certain, like, limit to it, and I think that kind of kept me away from sort of experiencing things. I think back and I'm like, maybe if I took life in my own hands, I would probably not have gone through those things. I probably would have opened myself to much more complex people, much more people who I didn't probably think were right for me. I think my parents told me a lot of things, and I heard a lot of narratives from other people, and I kind of believed all those things and didn't even think about it. I was someone who, like, believed things the instant someone would tell me. Like, I wouldn't investigate about it. I wouldn't be like, is this true or not? So now I'm very open to any kind of experience, because you learn from those experiences. And when you learn from those experiences, you start growing. And when I compare myself to how I am now versus how I was probably in, like, seventh or eighth grade, I can see, like, a drastic change, right? And, like, it hurts to know that I was kept away from so many amazing things in life. But at the same time, instead of focusing on that, I focus on the journey and how much I've grown, how much I've, like, implemented different things about, like, my physical appearance, or, like, my mental health, or things like that. You know, it really helps to sort of be more appreciative of yourself. So I would suggest, like, to anyone who feels sheltered, try to break away from that. Your parents are people who are amazing, and I'm sure you can learn so much from them. But at the same time, I think there's this generational gap, which they won't understand a lot of things that you will. So I think you need to open yourself out to new experiences. I think get on social media because it can teach you a lot of things. I think there's a lot of positive things to social media. I think that's been one of the biggest things for me is getting social media. I've learned a lot from it. And I think it's allowed me to meet so many new people and, you know, relate to so many people. And I think the moment I got social media, I think that really cleared everything for me where I was like, every single person is going through a mental health issue. And I think you can relate to people, stay caught up in the world, and learn so many things about, like, politics or, like, emotional situations. There's a lot to learn from social media, I think. Thinking about who you are now and then comparing it to who you really want to be, I think that's a really good motivation for you to keep going and for you to keep implementing those changes. So I think that is something that would really help.
So would you say that maybe having been more sheltered might have added or contributed to, like, some confusion or some feeling of, like, being left out or being lonely?
But I think when you're sheltered, you're so away from experiences and taking on experiences. And I think that if I just didn't let myself be so, like, gullible, I think, I would have been able to be a much different person now, and I feel like my social anxiety would be less, and I think I would have a more fun time hanging out with people my age. So to avoid those things, you have to be open to new experiences. You have to be open to meeting people who might be difficult to deal with, and you have to be open to learn about new things in order to relate to people, right? And at the same time, I think choose your friends really wisely. Be with friends who appreciate you, who love you, and who see you for who you are. Don't be with people who will make you change yourself completely along with like your personality. You should always stick to being a good, kind person. And people who show the negative side of you, you should never be with those kinds of people. People who will make you not let you have your own opinion, you should get rid of those people. Always have your own opinions, always be prepared, always be planned in life with certain things, because I think it can really help you like make conversations with people. And I think social anxiety is something that needs a lot of practice and a lot of work, so it's always good to be planned before when you have a conversation, because I know it can be really draining. But just stick to who you are, because what you are is really good. And it can only get better from that. So choose your friends wisely, have your own opinions, and be open to experiencing about anything. And because you'll only learn from those experiences, that's it.
So for some people, like me included, I think mm-hmm. it might be like really difficult sometimes to, like sometimes you get into a friendship with someone, right? Mm-hmm. And you would like think they were a good person originally, but suppose that you found out that they weren't good for you. What words of advice would you have for people who might find it difficult to just, like, break off friendships like that?
Yeah, it's a very tough thing, especially in this generation. I think it's really hard to break apart from someone who you thought was good at first. And I think another big issue is sometimes you care about a person too much and then they don't care about you enough. And I think the biggest thing is to acknowledge that everyone changes in life, right? Like, you'll never stay the same person that you are. So it's important to understand every single person's battles in life, because you never know what's going on with a person. So I think the best thing to do is find closure with someone, because I think closure can be something that is really helpful. Because if you don't have closure, I think it's really hard after, because then you start overthinking. And that's when the overthinking starts, and that's when you start thinking about, you know, other things in the whole relationship. And then you sort of, and you think of the things that you wish you could say to that person, but you can't. So I think having, like, a proper conversation with closure that, I'm sorry that this happened between us, but we will still, like, know each other. We will still have each other and see each other. But we can still move on, and we can still change and lead different lives. I think that is the best closure that you can get. And another thing that really helps me sort of forgive people who have wronged me in the past and just move on from that is understanding what I have learned from that person and from that relationship. I think the most beautiful part about, like, a failed relationship is that you learn a lot about the whole relationship as well as yourself. So, for example, I think I was in eighth grade and I met this person who I got really close to, but I found out that I was giving more than the other person was, and it was just not a good friendship, and it was not going to go anywhere. And I think what I learned from that relationship was that you should never depend on anyone for your happiness. You should get that happiness from yourself as well as a lot of other people, not just one. Because when that one reason of your happiness leaves, then you don't have anyone to give you your happiness, right? At some point, everyone in your life is going to leave, right, in some kind of way. So nothing is permanent. No one is going to be permanent in your life. Some people are in your life for a reason or for a certain phase in your life, right? And there are very few people who actually stay. Always love another friend. Always give them care, support, and trust, and help. But if that feeling is not being given back, then there's no point in the friendship, and it's only going to give you pain. And I've found that when you leave, it's far more peaceful, and your life feels far more better.
What do you usually tell yourself when you're trying to, like, let go of someone?
So I think when I was in that situation, I just didn't want to let go. Like, I was having a really hard time. And then eventually, you know, it builds up and you just can't take it anymore. And then you are the one giving up. I would say is I just tell myself that this is not worth it. I'm not getting anything from this friendship. It's draining. It's affecting my academics. It's affecting how I see life. It's affecting who I am as a person, and it's not anywhere near worth it. I'm only talking to you. I'm not talking to my family as much anymore. I'm not appreciating the friends who actually care about me, and I'm giving you everything when I shouldn't be giving you whatever, because you aren't giving me anything. And why am I giving so much to someone who doesn't care about me? Why am I giving so much to someone who is only showing me like how bad I am? I know I have so much in me. I know I have the gift of being a good person, and I have the gift of being someone who can care about you and give you something, but you don't. And it's really bad that you aren't. So I can't be with you anymore, and I think the best thing you can do is just let go. It's really hard to kind of trust people after you go through a painful friend break or relationship break. It's really hard because then you stop, like, trusting the people around you, and you kind of just don't appreciate anyone, and you're scared of letting people in, which is the hardest part, I think. Like, after all of that, you know, I still have problems with kind of meeting new people and getting close to them because I have this fear that, you know, if I get too close to them, they're going to leave me. And I think the best thing in that moment is to understand that everyone is going to leave at some point. Everyone has their own set of dreams, goals, achievements that they want to make, and that they're going to do it. And they also might be going through something that's painful, and they want to have their own journey of self-growth. So you should let everyone kind of have that and keep being a good person, because someday there's going to be at least one person who appreciates that about you. So choose your people wisely. Let go of the people who are giving you so much negativity. After it's over, let it hurt as much as you want. Feel all the emotions. Just know that it will get better, and you won't think as intensely about that person in the long run.
During your friendships, like, how were you able to discover that they weren't the good kind and the one that you wanted?
I think some signs are, if you're only, like, texting that person and you aren't, like, meeting them in person or having fun with them, like, outside of school, I don't think that's a really good sign. Because just talking over text is really harmful because you never understand the tone of that person. You never understand what that person is really trying to say. If a friend is showing, like, they don't, like, even know you in school when they talk to you out of school, that's a really bad sign. I think if they are only showing, like, a negative side of you, and they're always, like, looking at your weaknesses instead of your strength, if they're jealous of your success instead of adding to your success, that is a very bad sign. And I think if they're just not willing to be with you and not willing to once in a while tell you how much they love you and appreciate you, I think those are really bad signs. And I have amazing friends now. I don't have many, but I have such that are with me in good times and bad times. Whenever I'm with them, I don't feel any sort of pressure. I feel like I'm free. I can be whoever I want around them, and they let me be that way. So when you're with people who make you feel really good, the confidence just eventually comes. And I think noticing those signs and being able to understand them are the best thing that you can do.
I feel like it must take a lot of strength and awareness and just, like, clarity in general to maybe realize that someone is not good for you and to break off from them, because I feel like it's really easy to sort of just, like, convince yourself or gaslight yourself into thinking, okay, this is, like, a friend, and I'm sure they're just going through something. I definitely have, like, a lot of respect for you for to be able to make that kind of discovery and to be able to just realize that that friend was not good for you and to move on.
Yeah.
So I think I'm also a little bit curious if you're comfortable with sharing this, what would you say was maybe, like, the overarching theme of, like, your depression or this period where you didn't feel very good about yourself? Would you say it was more, like, was it, like, loneliness? Was it wishing to be something you were not, or something else?
I feel like it was a combination of a lot of things. Mm-hmm. It started when I was with people who didn't make me feel good. I think people can be, like, the biggest thing in your life who can put you down sometimes. It depends on, like, which kind of people are in your life. I think also I felt like I didn't have anyone who gave me that feeling of being safe. And I think school was also very difficult at that time for me, because I think school can make a teen's life very, very hard. I think it can take a big toll on a kid's mental health. So I think it's a combination of a lot of things. I don't think there's, like, one set reason for depression. But I think it was just feeling very empty and lonely, and not having anyone with me. Like, I didn't feel like I was who I wanted to be. I feel like I had a lot to improve on, and I couldn't understand what I was going through at that point. So I think that all those, like, complex emotions just kind of came into one, and that just made it really hard.
If you could go back and have a conversation or just, like, give your past 7th, 6th grade self a piece of advice, what do you think you would say?
I think I would tell myself to stop listening to what other people say and just to kind of have my own opinions and have my own charge in life. I think if I let myself be open to more experiences in life and see other parts of it, I feel like I would be much happier. And at the same time, you know, I also don't really regret any of it at the same time, because I feel like if I hadn't met those people, I would have never changed. And I think I wouldn't have ever gained maturity and just that self-growth and confidence. When you look back at yourself, it's okay to feel disgusted. It's okay to feel bad. But look at yourself now and see how much better you've become. Start to look at the friends in your life or the family in your life who really appreciate you and make you feel loved. Appreciate the small things in life, because those are what really matter. When you look at people who are below you and who don't have as much opportunities as you, you start to appreciate your life. Appreciate, like, the little things, like the fact that you have a house, the fact that you can afford a meal, the fact that you can afford additional help outside of school. I think those are, like, the little things that you should appreciate. Appreciate what you're going through. Appreciate the depression, because once you're in it, you know, it's really hard, and then you may heal, but then it could come back. You never know. But just know that it's not an illness. It's not a medical problem. It's simply an emotion that everyone is going through right now. Life is very different now than what it used to be. It's much harder. It has a lot more cracks and problems. And everyone is going through it right now. We can only focus on ourselves. We can only focus on what we want to be in life. Take everything kind of lightly. Don't worry about your grades as much. They don't define you. Don't worry about how school is. It's only a part of your life. It's not your entire life. Just keep trying. Keep experiencing. Keep seeing the different parts of life. And I think the beauty of life is that good things can happen to you at the most unexpected times. I think the best part of life is when you don't know what's happening. I know that high school, a lot of teens who are in high school right now, I know that they think that this is like the worst part of their life. And it probably is, you know. High school is really difficult. It's difficult because you're forced to do so many things, mm-hmm. and you can't really like pick what you want to do. And, you know, teachers make it hard. There's a lot of things that can make high school really, really hard. And I think it's a phase where kids are sort of growing and learning the most. So mm-hmm. it's really hard. But know that it gets better from here. I know that college is going to get better. I have an older sibling who's in college right now, and he constantly tells me how much college is so much better because it opens you to so many new opportunities, and you can actually learn what you want instead of being forced to take certain classes. And I think everyone ends up somewhere in life, and every individual has a certain strength that will be appreciated by someone in life. So just keep doing what you're doing, keep growing, keep finding things that you appreciate in life, and keep working towards those things. Because when you're passionate about something, it shows, and it will lead you to a lot of greater things.
Wow, you've been through so much at such a young age, and I really respect that. So is it okay if you like share one of your poems with us?
Yeah, sure. So from Weak in Me, here is one. They tell you to listen to your heart, but if it's shattered in a million pieces, which one do you listen to? This poem I wrote because I think we go through so many problems, and there's not just one that we're dealing with. And I think when you're going through so much, you don't know what to do. You're just constantly just like feeling it, and you just there's like nothing you can do at that point. And I wrote this because I wanted to touch on those complex emotions, and I think it can help any kind of person with any kind of problem they're experiencing. So that was from Weak in Me. And then the one from Blues Away that I wrote was, don't hold sand too tight where it burns your fingers. Let it loose. So this one, I think I use sand as a metaphor for like certain kind of people. Where you shouldn't force anyone to be with you. If they want to, they will. Otherwise, just let it go. Because the more you hold on to it, the more it hurts you, the more it will scar you, and the more it will hurt you for the future. And I think another thing I'd like to say is that if you're a young teen going through something like this, it's better to go through something young than it is to go through something when you're older. Because I think when you're younger, it's much easier to kind of grow from it and learn from it. And then when you're an adult, and I think when you're older, there's just so many more set of issues that you have to deal with. And I think the more you understand depression, the more you understand mental health issues and problems at a young age, the easier it will be for you when you're older.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense, for sure. I mean, like, yeah, I hear a lot about people saying, oh, so many people are struggling at such, like, young ages nowadays. But I guess, like, the way you describe it, it could almost be seen as, like, a good thing in some ways, mm-hmm. where, like, being exposed to maybe challenges and difficulties earlier in life might lead to more resilience in the future. That's what I'm taking away from, like, yeah. What you're saying, pretty much.
Like, in terms of your high school and your academics, have you ever felt that you've been pressured constantly to do good? And, like, how do you deal with this stuff?
Yeah, I think, well, growing up, like, in an Asian community, you know, you're definitely gonna be pressured. I think it's not just for my parents, but also myself. I have this constant need to be perfect. And I just want to do good, like, in school. But obviously, you know, sometimes teachers make it hard for you. The education system
yep.
is really, it could use a lot of work and change, I think. I think we need to change our curriculum and kind of expand our educational system, because I think there's a lot of cracks in it that we can totally fix. And I think even though schools have a lot of, you know, safe spaces for kids, I don't see a lot of people going to those, and I think that's kind of a problem. I think schools can definitely be far more better with mental health issues, and I think there's just so much that we can fix when it comes to our education. And I think one thing that's helped me kind of release that pressure is engaging in other activities that can help me, like poetry, dance, speech and debate. There's a lot of different clubs or like extracurriculars that you can do outside of school that can help you kind of release that pressure. Don't worry too much about your grades. Just try your best, and don't show no effort, but just keep trying. That's the best thing that you can do for yourself. Don't let school take over your life, because that's when you start to feel pressured and that's when you start to feel more stress and anxiety. So yeah, I think that's one thing that's helped me the most, is to realize that I have so much more to me than school. My life is so much more than just grades. I've seen so many people who may not have been the best with their grades or whatever it is, and they're doing just fine, right? Like, they are still in amazing places, they're still doing such unique things, and they've got such great friends, and they've just got such a good life in general. So it really doesn't matter where you go to college. It doesn't matter what you do in life. College is not the only thing. It's just another small bump in the road. Don't let high school define everything for you, because you should have fun. It is really hard. It can feel like a prison sometimes, but you need to just try and put in effort, because at the end of the day, that's what matters the most in whatever you do in life.
But thank you so much for your time. Of course. And
thank you.
Like, even I've learned so much from you today.
Oh, thank you.
I'm definitely going to be taking some of that, like, away in the future. But, again, thank you for your time.
Of course. Thank you
so much.
This is the Two Brain Cells Podcast. Mm-hmm.